Today's Shir and Mishnah Berurah Yomi is Daf Tzadi Tes Omud Beis, and we're in the second volume of the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, and we are beginning a brand new siman today, Kuf Tzadi Vav. Very fascinating siman, which deals with, do the laws of benching, and even a bracha rishona, and certainly zimun, do they apply if somebody is eating something that is osur? You're eating a prohibited food. What do we do about brachos? So the Mechaber starts off and he tells us, Achal Dover Iser, if somebody eats something that is prohibited to eat, as we'll see, the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot Nala says, Afilu Eini Surah Be'etzim, even if the item itself is not intrinsically Osir, Elamishum Shu Osir Alatzma Dover Zeh, but he made it Osir on him, and we'll have a whole bigger discussion about this in Dirshu footnotes 1 and 2 about what other items might be included under this discussion. But for the bottom line, he's eating something that it's prohibited for him to eat. And this is true. The Mechaber says, Afo pishenu osur ala derabanan. This is certainly true if it's a din daraisa, but it's true even if it's only prohibited to him on a rabbinical level. Ein mizamnin alav. You cannot include this guy in the bracha of zimun. And furthermore, vein mevarachin alav. This person should not make a bracha rishona, lo batchila, not a bracha rishona, lo basof, and not a bracha achrona if he ate to the shear of that prohibited item that would normally require a bracha achrona, he doesn't make a bracha achrona. So the Mechaber is telling us over here that if you eat something that is osur to eat, you don't make any brachas on it. You don't make a bracha rishona, you don't make a bracha achrona, and you can't be included in zimun if there are three people eating there together. Now let's examine and explore this a lot more. Dirshu footnote number 1 brings down the afim ochal maichol shu sofik isu deraisa. This is true even if it's the item is not definitely prohibited from the Torah, but it's only a sofik. So the Prima Gadim writes she'ein mevarach alav. You do not make a bracha, and certainly v'kol shekein she'ein mezamen alav. And certainly you can't be included in zimun. However, avolam ochal sofik isu derabanan. But if you're eating something which the prohibition is only based upon a din derabanan, so then the Kaf HaChaim writes that you do in fact make a bracha in this situation because it's a sofik derabanan over here, and therefore you should go and make the bracha rishona. But a sofik deraisa, you would not make the bracha rishona. Dirshu foot number 2 brings down a number of other interesting scenarios. V'chein, mi shebemezit ochal oshosa yayin lefnei havdalah. For example, if somebody drinks wine before havdalah. So you're not allowed to eat or drink anything before Havdalah. So he brings down from Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, the Shelos Hatshuva Sigris Moshe, Sha'af api shechayv levarach baruch achrona. You do have to make a baruch achrona in this situation. And he says, Ulai af rishona, and maybe even a baruch rishona, l'fisha ha'maychol atzmo einu osu, because the wine itself isn't prohibited. It's the time that you're eating it before Havdalah that makes it prohibited. Mikol mokom, bottom line, however, Rav Moshe says, mistaver she'enu mitstarf l'zimun. While you may have to make a bracha rishona, and you certainly have to make a bracha achrona according to Rav Moshe, you wouldn't be included in zimun if you were to be part of three people. That's not a koveya over here that you're a part of those three people. And he says this is especially true if you're dealing with 10. You can't be included as one of the 10 people that they should now say, Nevarach Elokeinu Shochal Mishalov. On the other hand, Rav Menashe Klein Zatzal, the Ungva Rebbe, and the Mishnah Halachos brings down Shekivin She'ein HaYitzer Al HaPas. The bread over here in this situation is not Osir. El Shu Osir Bachil Mishum Havdalah. The only reason you're not allowed to have the bread over here was because it's the time period. It's before Havdalah, you can't eat. And therefore, the Isser is in the Zman and not in the food. He says, therefore, Kishem Sha'ochel Fnei HaKiddush V'Havdalah Tzorach Levaru Tchil V'Sof, just like anybody who eats before Kiddush or Havdalah has to make a bracha before and afterwards, so too it can even be counted towards Zimun. We skip a little bit later in this footnote, in Dirshu footnote number 2, and it brings down another interesting question. Somebody ate by accident on a tzom. For example, he ate on tzom Gedalia. So the Mati Ephraim brings down, Sha'af l'pi shechayv l'varach baruch achrona, even though he has to make a baruch achrona on that eating, nevertheless, in yesh anoshim achayrim, sha'ochlu beheter, ein mezam l'lov. If there are other people that were sick and had a right to eat on tzom Gedalia, and now he would go and make a zimun with them, that he can't do. Even though he has to make his own baruch achrona, he has to bench if he ate by accident, but he can't be included in this din of zimun. And he says likewise, ochel b'tainis shemidivrei chachamim. If you read on a rabbinical tainis that the rabbi set up, so Shlomo Zalman Zatzal is mistapek in mevarach lo. Should you or should you not make a bracha in this situation? He likewise is mistapek b'mish ochel macholi cholav b'toch shei shos lachilas baser. Somebody has the custom not to eat milchiks after eating meat for 6 hours, and then he ate milchiks within the 6 hour period of time, should he or should he not make a bracha? And he's left with a tzarachin. The guy's doing something wrong. And at the same time, he is getting hanor from this world and something that is only prohibited as a chumrah, as a stringency, so he's left with a tzarachin. Now we go to the Mishnah Berurah Sivkot Beis. The Mechaber told us you're not allowed to make a bracha rishona, and in fact, the Mishnah Berurah says, v'hu ha-din, the same din would apply. She'ein onin amen al birchasu. Somebody hears him making a bracha, since he wasn't supposed to make the bracha, you shouldn't answer amen on a bracha that wasn't supposed to be made. Sivkot and gimel. This is true whether it's a bracha rishona, lo batchila. The Mechaber says, ho al udvar iserhu, since this was something that was prohibited, v'yesh avera b'achila. So, and there is, in fact, a sin in eating it. So this is under the category of minoy, it's a shem b'virchoso al zeh, that you are, so to say, disparaging the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by making such a bracha. And this fulfills the dictum, k'inyan shenemar, ubotzeh aberech, nietz Hashem. You're instigating Hashem, you're provoking Hashem, so to say, when you make a bracha that you don't have to make because it's forbidden for you to eat this. So this falls under that category, and that's why we don't make a bracha. The issue for number three has another number of interesting scenarios to discuss. He brings down what would be the din if you have a milchik of bread. Now the halach is, in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down based upon the Gemara, that we don't make a milchik of bread unless there's clearly some clear demarcation that it's a milchik of bread. For example, a cheese Danish. Everybody knows it's a cheese Danish. It has a certain shape, a certain way that it's made, so there's no concern that somebody will take this cheese Danish and eat it in a fleishach meal. But if you take a regular loaf of bread and you added milk to it, there's nothing intrinsically different about this loaf of bread, and therefore it's a very high possibility that somebody will eat this with a fleishach meal. They won't know that this is a milchik of bread, and it could lead to terrible problems. So therefore the halach is that you're not supposed to make something that's a milchik of bread or likewise a fleishach of bread unless there's a clear demarcation in the item itself, not a sign on it, not on the wrapping, but there's something intrinsic about the loaf of bread that clearly shows that it is a milchik or a fleishach of bread, for example. So you're not allowed to eat this midrabbanon. For example, you may eat this milchik of bread with meat, and that would be a problem. And therefore, he writes that ein mevarchin aleh bracha rishona v'achrona. If you did eat such a bread intentionally, you should not make a bracha rishon on it, and you shouldn't bench on it afterwards. However, he does bring down a different opinion than this prima gadim. This was the prima gadim that we just said, and he brings down from Hagos Reb Kiva Eger. No, you can't make a bracha rishon and achrona for two reasons. Number one, ho'il the isra achilas pasu, einu isra be'etzim, the isra kalu. There's nothing really intrinsically wrong with this bread. This bread is technically a perfectly kosher milchik of bread. And the rabbis instituted what he calls an isra kalu over here. Don't eat this because of a gzeira. And likewise, Aruch HaShulchan says the same thing in the name of the Rambam. Shemutu levarach al kol dvorim sha'asurim be'isra kalu derbanan. One is permitted and therefore obligated to make a bracha on something that was only prohibited by a light, quote, light rabbinical enactment, such as, for example, Bishul Akum or Cholav Akum. These things are also prohibited, and therefore, if a person ate them, since this is, a quote, an Isser Kal, they're intrinsically 100% kosher, you do make a bracha. That's reason number one. Reason number two, he says, it's based upon the Krasi. The Krasi writes, Rashoy l'chalei kapas l'harbi anoshim. This milchik of bread is able to be eaten in a heter way by eating very small pieces. If everybody eats very small pieces, everybody has what's called the davar muat, and in pas muat, in a small piece of it, Shulchan Aruch and Yerideya paskins, that the rabbis never instituted a gzeira on a small piece. They only instituted on the entire loaf. And therefore, this would be equivalent to a rich person eating demai, which technically he shouldn't do, but since he could technically make all his possessions hefker, so he would be allowed to, so therefore in this situation, he paskins, you could include such a person in Zimun. So too, over here, not only in the case of the rich person eating demai, he's included in Zimun, so too over here, the person who's eating over here, this Isser Kal over here, this rabbinical prohibition that was enacted to prevent something, a gzeira, yochol l'chalkul yachayim, he could have divided up this milchik of bread and given it small pieces to other people, therefore he can be included in the Zimun over here as well. Furthermore, he writes, "Va'ochel dover isur li'acha shebitlu b'shishim l'chatchila." There is a rule that something that, under certain circumstances, is nullified to be considered important if there's 60 against it. This is the famous rule of batel b'shishim, which we won't go into great detail right now. So, for example, if you have a little piece of milk that fell into a chalent, so if there's more than 60 times against the milk in the chalent is still considered halachically 100% permissible l'chatchila to eat. But let's say a portion of milk fell into the chalent that wasn't nullified by 60. There was only 30 parts against the milk. What you're not allowed to do is pour in another 30 times against that milk of meat and now have 60 against the milk and now nullify it. This is called ein mevatlin isur l'chatchila. Once you have a prohibited taruvis, a prohibited mixture, you can't go and keep on adding heter to it until you've nullified the isur that fell into it. Again, this is called Ein Mevatlin Isla Chachila. What happens if somebody did this? Somebody had milk and meat together, and he kept on pouring in additional meat until the milk was nullified. And now he eats it. It's technically 100% kosher. So the din is, Nasser Bachila Midrabbanan, this is still prohibited to be eaten by the person who was Mevatlit, or for the person who he was Mevatlit for. So this is an Issa Midrabbanan. So the question is this Osir as well? Now, for a person to make a bracha on it, if he was one of those people that's not allowed to eat it, he was the guy that was mevatelit, or he was the guy that was mevatelit for. So he brings down from the Sefer, Pesach Hadvir, a tzarechi, and he's not sure what the din would be in this situation. Im kivun sheasru rak mishum knas mevorech alav. Since this is a penalty over here that he shouldn't do this, so he's penalized. So because of a penalty, do we say if he did it anyway, he shouldn't make a bracha? Or maybe we say no. Since it's aser, it's a chaticho di yisura for him, so it's an dover aser, midrabanan, and he shouldn't make a bracha on it. And he's left with a tzarechin. And he brings down from the divrei from the Maharita, that he writes, Shekol dovish asu chazal me'ez atam, whatever the reason is that the rabbis prohibited it, it now is considered an isur gomer, and therefore, lochein ein mevarchin, and umezamin olav. You don't allow him to make a bracha on it, and you don't include him in benching. However, for Zimun. However, the Kaf HaChaim disagrees, and the Kaf HaChaim writes, Kivin shamachil atzmo mutter, the item itself is technically perfectly permissible. And it's only something else that's causing it to be usher, this kinas that the rabbis instituted over here. So therefore, maybe at this point in time, he actually has hiruri tshuva on what he did, and therefore he should make a bracha. Why? Kedesh lo yeh mosif al cheto rachmona litzlan. Because now, if he is really hirurim of tshuva, he's sorry that he did this, well, now he's going to do an additional isur of eating without making a bracha. So therefore, the Kaf HaChaim says, you should make a bracha in this situation. The next scenario is also an interesting case. What happens if somebody thinks they're eating dover osur, but it actually is a dover mutter? He thinks he's eating a trifle piece of meat, and instead he picks up a kosher piece of meat. Should he make a bracha on it? Another scenario, somebody's not concerned about a certain type of issur, let's say arla, and he thinks he's eating a piece of arla, a fruit that's arla, but in fact it's a fruit that's heter. So in this situation, Shlomo Zalman is also mesupak. What should the person do? Should he make a bracha? Because the bottom line is, this is a machsheves iser. He thought he was doing something wrong, so you shouldn't make a bracha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want a bracha on such a thing, and it's considered like nietz, and therefore it would be better that he didn't eat it, and therefore shouldn't make a bracha. Or the bottom line was, it was a dover heter, so he should make a bracha. Okay, that's the person who did it. The nafkamini says, is if you listen to such a bracha, so you know that he's eating heter. He thinks he's eating Yisr, but you know he's eating Heter. Should you or should you not answer amen to it? That's the Nafkamina, and Rav Shlomo Zalman is left with the Sarach Ian. The issue for number four has another interesting scenario. What happens if you're eating something that is both Heter and Yisr combined? For example, a person's eating meat. The meat is perfectly kosher, but it has blood in it. It wasn't having the blood taken out of it properly. So the meat is kosher, but the basar is not the problem. It's the blood that you're eating with the basar. So therefore, should you or should you not make a bracha in this situation? So again, here too, Shlomo Zalman in this topic, should you or should not make a bracha in this situation? Finally, the issue for number five brings down some other interesting scenarios. It brings down from the Maram Shik Zatzal, Sha'ochel Maichel Hamesukin Lebriyoso. If a person eats something that's dangerous to his health, you also shouldn't make a bracha on it because, for you, you're over on the Aveira of eating it of V'chaybehem. You're not supposed to eat this thing because it's dangerous for you. Bottom line is, for you to eat that is not a mitzvah, it's an aveira, and therefore, maybe you shouldn't make a bracha on it. However, he then says, if a person, for example, has diabetes, and he eats a sugar cookie or something that he shouldn't be eating, ideally, so there, Rav Yashiv Zatzal says, you definitely do make a bracha rishona, however, you don't make a bracha achrona. And the reasoning is because the first little bite that you take, the taste that you have, that really isn't a danger for anybody. And you're mechuyev to make a bracha rishona even on a taste. It's only also, so to say, for you to have a significant amount of this food, and that is the bracha achrona component over here, and therefore he paskins that you shouldn't make a bracha achrona in such a situation if you ate something that is dangerous for you. Again, the reasoning behind it is because you were over an iser by eating it of the chai behem. And he says furthermore, if somebody eats bread, for example, without washing the tilas yadayim. So should he or should he not make a bracha rishona, a motzi, and a benching on the bread? So Shlomo Zalman says, in the name of the Sefer, Lev Chaim, She'ein birchosu chashuva chabirchas al achilas iser. This is different. You're not doing an iser over here by making a bracha rishona on the bread. You just didn't wash your hands. And therefore, this person should make a bracha rishona on the bread, and somebody's allowed to answer amen to his hamotzi. Since this bread technically was permissible to be eaten without netilas yadayim if he ate less than a kezayis. However, Shlomo Zalman therefore says, You weren't intending to just have a less than a kazayis. You were intending to eat the whole sandwich. So therefore, you were obligated in the tilas yadayim already, even beforehand. So maybe this svar is not good. Bottom line with all of these situations is a person should really think very carefully before he makes a bracha to make sure that what he's eating is kosher, to make sure that he's not doing any yisurim by what he eats, because your intention obviously is to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you could be, Rachmana Litzlan, over this very important idea of Botzea Beirech Nietz Hashem. You're provoking Hashem by doing something that Hashem doesn't want you to do. You think you're doing the right thing, at least in part, so you have to be very careful about these types of yisurim. Sivkat and Dalit, the Mishnah Berurah says, "Vafilum ochel kedei svia." This is true that you don't make a bracha achrona, even if you're mechuyev midoraisa, you ate to satiety. Even there, you don't make a bracha achrona when you ate dover aser. V'yom ochel b'shogei, but if you ate by accident and only afterwards an iskaracha rechilaso that you ate something that was aser, then das ataz v'od kam achrona. The opinion of the taz and other achronim is the bezei yuchel levarach basof. You can't make a bracha achrona. V'ayno afilu lo ochel kedei svia. This would be true even if you weren't obligated midoraisa, even if you ate to less than satiety, you can't make a bracha achrona. The bezel lo shayach nietz, because we don't have this concept of here you're instigating, you're provoking against Hashem because you didn't know. Elo de inyon zimun, however, in regards to whether you should be included in a zimun in this situation, he says afilu b'shogeg in lezamin alzeh. You shouldn't be included in zimun even if you wait here by accident. The achilas isser lo chashiv kvias, because the eating of something that is prohibited doesn't establish a kvias, which is the requirement for zimun. Next, im gonav o gozal chitim utochanon ve'afon. If a person stole wheat and he ground it up and made it into flour and then baked it into bread. So yesh omim sh'afu pi shikonon b'shinun harihim shalo. There are those that paskin over here and say that since technically this is now yours, and granted you have to pay him back, you have to pay him back for what you stole, but this, since this is now yours, you would think that you have to make a bracha rishon on it, bracha achrona. They paskin, no, mikol mokom osu levarach hazeh, you shouldn't make a bracha on this. This falls into the category of botzei berech nietz Hashem, and this is true ben bracha rishon ben brichas hamazon, both for the before and after bracha, because the linyan bracha this be'akars Hashem, because since you're mentioning Hashem's name, chomir tvei, this is a stricter idea, v'tamid hu Bichlal Niyutz, and this does in fact fall into the category of Botzea Berech Niyutz Hashem. However, others disagree. V'yeshomrim the whole v'kona yochel levarach. Since you technically have acquired this, and granted you have to pay back the guy the money, we're not giving you a head to the steal over here, but technically you own this. And therefore, since you technically do own this, albeit you did something wrong in order to acquire it, and you do have to pay the guy back, nevertheless you own this, so you have to make a brach rishona and a brach achrona. The Das of Mogen Avram, the Mishnah Berurah concludes and says, the Mogen Avram passes over here, the Linyan Birchas HaMazon, in Ochal Kedei Sviya, Yesh Lohoros B'zeh Shivarach Birchas HaMazon, if you ate the Doraisa amount, i.e. you ate to Satiri, but you obligated him in Doraisa to bench, he says, you definitely should bench in this situation for sure, because this is a Din Doraisa, Yesh Lahachmir Baruch, and Sofik Baruch's Doraisa, we go Lahachmir, and you should make, in fact, a Baruch HaAchrona bench in this situation. Sif Beis. The Mechaber tells us, "Im ochal dover iser b'makum sakana." If a person had to eat something that was aser because it was dangerous for him not to, so then in fact, mevorchim lov, you do in fact make a bracha. If a person is going to die unless he has a bacon sandwich, so then he not only has to eat the bacon sandwich, but in fact he has to make a bracha rishona on it. And the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Hay explains, "Vafilu ochal iser deraisa." Even if he ate bacon, he ate something that was absolutely prohibited intrinsically mideraisa. If this is b'makum sakana, the guy's going to die unless he eats it. He's sick, for example, and if he doesn't eat something, he's going to die, or he's going to be very, very sick from it. You're allowed to. Vatam, the reason is, the kiven de sakonahu, since this person is in fact deathly ill, and if he doesn't eat it, he'll be in serious consequences. He in fact is eating something permissible. And exactly the opposite. Mitzvah ka'ovid. Not only is he not doing an iser, he's doing a mitzvah, lahatzel nashul, to save his life. As the pasuk says, uksiv v'chai b'hem, you have to live by the rules. V'amru chazal tell us, the Torah wants us to live by the rules. V'chai b'hem, v'lo shiyomas b'hem. The Torah doesn't want us, with the exception of the three cardinal sins, to go and die by doing what God wants. No, God wants you to live, and all the dinim of the Torah, with the exception of the three cardinal sins, are pushed aside to survive. And the Ramah then says, v'ayin lekam and simin reishdala, these dinim are discussed further over there. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Vav explains, the Sham Nishna din zeh, this din is discussed in greater detail over there. And then his bar, Sham b'sifhei, ba'agor, the Ramah over there in Sifches rather says, dim ansua, if somebody forces you to eat, lechol, eno mevarach. If a person forces you to eat, then you don't make a bracha. And the Shaar HaTzion, the Chofetz Chaim writes in Os Yud Aleph, this is when behet the ben be'isser. If you're forcing to eat and you don't want to eat, whether it's permissible or not to eat the item, you don't make a bracha. Even though they're going to kill you, so one could say this is like a sakana, but since in this situation you don't really want to eat, you're just eating over here because they're telling you to, you don't make a bracha. Rishona, Vayin Shom B'Mishnah Berurah, and that is discussed further over there. Dershah footnote 7 brings down a discussion, are you chayiv and zimun in this situation? Some poskim say yes, some poskim say only if they have a zimun without you can you be included in the zimun, but they can't rely upon you for the zimun, and others say no, in this situation you shouldn't be mezamed at all. The best dates in these situations is not to go and eat with three other people, with two other people, so there's no question of whether you should or should not bench bezimun. This concludes today's shir.